Thank you for joining the Messianic Message. You're listening to Jacob's Spotted Sheep. We hope you enjoy the message from themessianicmessage.com. Hi, and welcome. This is Kimberly Rogers with themessianicmessage.com. We hope you enjoy today's message on Jacob's Spotted Sheep. I've done this message because I believe that Jacob has been wrongly accused of being a trickster and a thief by anti-Semites for thousands of years. In fact, for the last 2,000 years, my Christian brethren have joined in the accusations, despite the fact that Jacob is their forefather as well by adoption. Yet they teach that he was less than honorable. They do this because they don't understand the accounts of Jacob's activities, nor God's plan of salvation. They don't know why Jacob was selected by God over Esau. They don't know why Jacob had his hand on Esau's heel at birth, or why Jacob asked Esau for the birthright of the firstborn, or why Jacob followed his mother's instructions regarding the firstborn blessing, and they don't understand the story of Jacob's sheep. In fact, most people don't understand the story of Jacob's sheep. Most brethren continue to believe that the account of Jacob obtaining the sheep from Laban is just another reason to call Jacob a trickster, in addition to which they add superstitious to the list of words to call him. Superstition is added because of his breeding program. Jacob used a breeding program to create the sheep that allowed him to escape Laban's abuse. Yet, many will still not give Jacob a reprieve. So, I think it's time to set the record straight about Jacob regarding the breeding program of his sheep. Now, we're going to go back and just do an overview of what had been happening in Jacob's life. He had been with Laban for 20 years, and he had labored for his wife, Rachel, for 7 years. He was given Leah instead of Rachel. He labored another 7 years for Rachel, and he finally got Rachel, and now he's about 6 years after that. So he's been with Laban now for 20 years, and he really is just wanting to go home. It's time to go home. He needs to leave and go back to his family, and he has asked Laban to let him go. And Laban wants to keep him there, so he says, tell me what you want, and that will be your wages. So Jacob asks Laban to let him have what Laban would consider the rejects of the herds, the rejects of those sheep and goats. The rejects of a sheep herd are the colored, the speckled, and the spotted sheep and goats. That left Laban with the white, more desirable sheep. Okay, so Laban was going to get the best deal. Laban was going to get exactly what he wanted, and Jacob was going to take what was considered a reject and what was often considered to be a weaker sheep, which, as we'll see later on, Jacob's sheep are actually not the weaker sheep. But let's look at Genesis 30, 31 through 34. This is the King James Version, by the way, and so I'm going to read this. And he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. I will pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before your face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me." And Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to your word. So Jacob made this deal with Laban to take as wages, his final wages, the sheep and goats that Laban would have regarded as undesirable. Those included off-white or tan sheep and goats, brown sheep and goats, spotted or speckled sheep and goats. But Jacob left behind what Laban would have regarded as the best of the crop, which were the pure white sheep. Now, Jacob has been accused over thousands of years. He's been accused of taking advantage of Laban by offering to take these less desirable animals from the flock and make the best of them. But, you know, I believe this accusation is the result of jealousy over Jacob's superior shepherding skills. I believe Jacob knew that he could take what many considered to be weaker sheep and turn them into something that would be desirable. But some people just can't stand to see others succeed, so they've accused Jacob once again. We'll see that Jacob actually followed God's divine plan, and we'll know this when we get to studying the dream in Genesis 31 that God gave to Jacob, which shows that God was actually pleased with Jacob. And might I point out that the spiritual lesson here is that God calls the less desirable to be a part of his herd. Now, Jacob separated Laban's flock and Jacob's newly selected flock by 3 days' journey. And a little bit later on, we're going to look at the reason for that. But we're going to read right now in Genesis 30, verses 37 to 39, where it says, "And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and pilled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straked, speckled, and spotted." Now, liberal theologians use this a section of verses in Genesis 30 as an example of why the Bible has errors in it. And they'll say that this is an example of a superstitious use of trees by Jacob. I've actually heard people say this. I've listened to preachers in the pulpit say that, you know, Jacob was superstitious and God had to divinely intervene. And yes, God did do a divine intervention here, but it wasn't because Jacob was superstitious or stupid. Also, witches use this section of scripture along with others throughout the Bible, but in this case, they use this particular section of scriptures to claim that Jacob was actually practicing witchcraft. Witches practice herbal magic. To them, all herbs have two properties. One is for healing, and the other is for magical purposes with which they manipulate the universe. And trees are of particular importance in witchcraft. This is why when they read about the use of trees by Jacob, they regard this as God's tacit approval of their use of tree magic. And then there are the scientists who, again, you know, they agree with the liberal theologians who say that the Bible, this is just one passage where the Bible shows us that it's full of nice stories, but nothing that can be used as scientific. There's no good data here, so it can't be scientific. And there are even Christian commentators such as James Fawcett Brown who suggests that Jacob used the rods to spur the imagination of the sheep, as if sheep have imagination. Although, to James Fawcett Brown's credit, they do give credence to Jacob's superior shepherding skills in this episode. Then there's all the rest of us. We read this passage, we know it's in there, we believe it because we know it's the Word of God and we know that it's true, but it is unexplainable to us, and so we just read it and move on. This is something that has bothered me for years, and I've known that there was not magical things going on in here, that there was not non-scientific things going on in here in this passage, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And suddenly, the Lord asked me to look into this a little bit further, and I have, and I think that you'll be surprised at what I was shown. Anyway, so let's move on and look at Jacob's dream, because in Genesis 31, 10 through 12, we get to start understanding about Jacob's use of these rods from the trees. Genesis 31, 10, "And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift up now your eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and gristled, for I have seen all that Laban does to you." Okay, so now we see that God has done a divine intervention. But first, let's realize that there are some things this verse does not say. These verses do not say, Jacob, the striped rods you used that you put into the water troughs are working. And these scriptures don't say, these striped rods that you put in your water are causing your sheep to breed. No, they just simply say that Jacob's breeding program was working. But this dream, even though it explains the breeding program Jacob started, this dream is not about the breeding program. It is about reassurance to Jacob about something. Jacob needed to be reassured that his ewes were pregnant by speckled rams. Okay, so it was not the rods that produced the spotted offspring, and Jacob knew that. So there's no approval of superstition by God. Jacob was an excellent shepherd, and he knew that spotted sheep reach sexual maturity sooner than white or black sheep. And so he had started using a breeding program. It was quite an involved breeding program, as a matter of fact. He was probably the pioneer of good, sound breeding programs. And so this dream made sense to Jacob, and it pleased him and reassured him. But there was a more important reason for God to reassure Jacob that his breeding program was working, besides just the fact that, this is good, Jacob. No, it was more than just a pat on the back to Jacob. There was more reason that Jacob needed to be reassured. So, Genesis 30:33. Jacob says to Laban, "So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come time for my hire before your face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me." You see, the reason why Jacob needed to be reassured that his breeding program was working was because Jacob was under incredible stress. He was going to pay a high price if any of his sheep were found to be white. That's because all the white sheep belonged to Laban. He had said that if any of those white sheep were in his flock, that meant he had stolen them. Probably it meant that he had stolen them from Laban because, I mean, apparently there might have been other sheep herders in the area that he could have stolen sheep from, but primarily he was concerned about white sheep from Laban's flock, and he could have been killed by Laban. His family could have been destroyed by Laban if a white sheep were found in his flock. So Jacob had to understand what he was doing in this breeding program. Jacob knew about recessive genes. Now, he probably didn't know all the terminology that we use today, you know, dominant genes, recessive genes, but he knew how recessive characteristics appear. In a sheep with spots, the gene to be a white sheep is a recessive characteristic. So if you get two sheep together that have spots, but they both have enough of those white recessive genes, their offspring will be white. That's why Jacob was worried. He was worried about those recessive genes, and that's what God was reassuring him about. So this is why Jacob was under such incredible stress. So now add to this the fact that Laban is upset with Jacob because Jacob's flock has grown quickly and it's strong and healthy, and now Laban is upset. Genesis 31:2. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. See, the dream came in Genesis 31:10. So in Genesis 31:2, Jacob is starting to worry because Laban's countenance was not toward him as before. In other words, Laban is getting angry because of Jacob's success. So Jacob was not only worried about losing his flock, but he was worried for his entire family and his own life. And he was worried that Laban might have slipped a white sheep in there, possibly, or that Laban had somehow tried to trick him or would try to trick him somehow. So all of these things were weighing on Jacob's mind. Plus, Jacob really wanted to get away from Laban, and he wanted to do it as fast as he could, so he had to build his flock as fast as he could. He didn't have time to waste with ewes becoming pregnant through a chance encounter with a white sheep. So the fact that, you know, if there was a white sheep, that would be a problem with Laban, it was also a problem with him building up his flock of speckled sheep. So this is one of the reasons why the sheep were separated, Laban's sheep were separated from Jacob's sheep by a 3 days journey. It was to stop the accidental or intentional mixing of the two flocks, and it was to stop any chance breeding between a white ram and a speckled ewe, because that probably definitely would have resulted in a white lamb. So Jacob had high stakes, and he had to ensure that his flock stayed speckled. So the dream of Genesis 31:10-12 was it was meant to bring relief to his worried mind, and it did. God just simply came to say, no, you know, you've done it right. The breeding program is working. There are no recessive genes coming out, and there are no white rams that have mated with any of your speckled ewes, and there's not going to be any white lambs. Don't worry about it, Jacob. Everything's going to be fine. That's what that dream was about. Now, that covers the dream, But it doesn't answer the question about the wooden rods. And this is the most amazing thing to me. Let's look at why Jacob used wooden rods in those watering troughs. First of all, let me tell you that I think that Jacob was a man ahead of his time. He was an experienced and brilliant shepherd. And he certainly would have understood also, besides understanding the breeding program, he would have understood the use of various herbs to treat ailments. And we're going to take a look at some particular ailments that may have affected the sheep or might have been a danger of affecting the sheep. And we'll look at the medicinal qualities of the trees that Jacob put in the water troughs. Let me first say that a common ailment among rams is called water belly. Water belly is caused when calcium deposits build up in the urinary tract, and it causes the urine to back up into the bladder because the ram cannot urinate. Okay, so I went and I looked at the trees that he used, that Jacob used, and there are different trees in different versions. So while they all have three trees, I'm going to give you the medicinal qualities of five trees that appear in different versions. The first one is poplar. Poplar has a high level of salicin in it. Salicin is a substance that is closely related to modern aspirin. It kills pain. And it's been used for inflammations, and it's good for rheumatoid arthritis and swelling of that kind. It's also good for the heart. It stimulates the heart and strengthens the heart. And the one thing that poplar does that the other four do not do is that it reduces calcium, and if there's an overabundance of calcium, it will reduce it. It has a way of leveling out calcium imbalances. So keep that in mind. And then there's, it's called a plane tree. Sometimes you see plane instead of poplar. But listen to this. The plane tree, in some translations, is also known as the sycamore. And biblically, the tree of life is the sycamore tree. Anyway, the bark of a sycamore tree or a plane tree is an antidiarrheal, a gynecologic, and it has anti-inflammatory properties. And as a gynecologic, it would have been good for the ewes. It strengthens and the female reproductive organs and keeps them strong. It would have been good for the ewes, and the anti-inflammatory would have been good for both the ewes and the rams. Now we come to hazel. The hazel tree's distilled water is called witch hazel. And it's made primarily from the leaves, dried bark, and the twigs of the tree. The active ingredients in witch hazel are the tannins and the volatile oils, most of which are found in the bark and the leaves. But witch hazel has been used over the centuries to reduce tissue irritation and inflammation. And in particular, those volatile oils create a barrier against infection, which results in healing of wounds and stopping of bleeding. The chestnut tree also has tannin in the leaves and bark, and it too is used to treat bleeding, inflammations, and it's an astringent and it's a tonic. Now, the other tree that's mentioned in the translations, different translations, is almond. Indian almond bark is related to the reduction of urinary tract infections. It's an anti-inflammatory, and it is very specific to urinary tract infections, but it also treats rheumatoid arthritis and things like that. It also reduces fevers. So if you were sick and you took Indian almond bark, you would reduce fevers. And by the way, Indian almond bark, or the almond tree, comes from the Middle East and India. So in the United States, it's an import, but its original home is in the Middle East. So Jacob could very well have used the almond and the almond bark for the rods in the watering troughs. Now, let's go back and look why Jacob might have had to be concerned about water belly in his rams. Remember, he was 3 days away from their usual watering holes, and water belly is caused by a lack of water. So while they might have been getting water, and we know they were because he put water in the watering troughs, they may not have been getting as much water as they were used to. And so the rams would very quickly have built up this condition called water belly. So I believe that Jacob was actually preventing water belly in his rams. Again, water belly narrows the urinary canal and it backs up the urine into the bladder. But the other thing that would happen with water belly, because the urinary canal is also where sperm emissions come from, those rams would not have been able to produce lambs. So the breeding program would have been shot. Jacob would have had many fewer lambs, probably. The other thing is that if a ram has a urinary tract infection and he breeds with a ewe, that ewe will get that urinary tract infection. So Jacob had to prevent what he knew could be a devastating disease to his flock. And I believe that his flock grew the way it did and was as healthy as it was because Jacob understood how to prevent this water belly, this urinary tract infection. He was taking care of the infections, or preventing the infections that could happen to the rams, and he was using gynecological medicine for the health of the ewes. And this practice, in turn, assured a quick growth of his flock. But that still does not explain why Jacob made stripes on the rods. Now, it's possible that he striped the rods because more of the medicinal qualities of the trees got into the water that way. But he really was using these striped rods for his breeding program. And so there were two things that he was doing. He was curing or preventing disease, and he was conditioning his sheep. Now, the reason that I believe that he put that in the water was to cure the diseases, and here's why. If all he wanted to do was condition the sheep, he could have just put those rods from those trees that he made down in the ground. But no, he put it in the water. So there's a definite link between the health of the herd and the substances that came out of those trees and into the water. But also, we have to look at the striping of the rods that Jacob made, because he striped all those rods. So how does striping affect breeding? Is it superstition as a magical thing? No. There was method in Jacob's work. If you look at a picture of horns on a ram, you'll see that they're quite a bit different than the horns of a white sheep. The horns of the speckled sheep have very distinct rings. There's a brown ring and then a tan or white, close to off-white ring, and then a brown ring. So they look different in that those those rings are not quite as distinct in the white sheep. So in the unseparated flock, the speckled ewes would have naturally mated with the white rams. Why? Because there were more white rams. There were less of the colored sheep in the flock, and so the white rams would have attracted the colored ewes. And so Jacob had to do what is called conditioning. Has anybody ever heard of Pavlov's dogs? Well, of course, and in fact, all around the world, we have thousands of laboratories where animals are conditioned using all kinds of things. Plastic toys and all kinds of things that are used to condition an animal to have a certain behavior that can be studied. So why would we be surprised the stripes of a tree that look like ram's horns, colored ram's horns, would condition the ewes to prefer the colored rams over the white rams? Why would that surprise us? Well, it shouldn't surprise us. However, among those people who don't seem to like Jacob very well, they say, well, that he was just, that was superstition that he was using, and that was, magic and all these other things. But no, they can't just give him credit for being a brilliant man. They have to belittle him by saying that it was just all these other things. No. Jacob knew what he was doing. He was caring for his flock. He was conditioning his flock. And as a result, his flock grew quickly, and he had absolutely no white sheep. So he was using what would look to the ewes as the horns of the rams. Cause when a ewe has her face in the water and her eyes are looking out, she's going to be looking at those ram's horns. And so if he had a lot of ram's horns in those watering troughs and those ewes were looking at those ram's horns and they stopped seeing ram's horns from white sheep for a long time, they would come to prefer the mating with the spotted and speckled rams. So it's the horns that attract a female sheep. And by the way, most white sheep, and in fact, I'm maybe going out on a limb here to say that all white sheep only have two horns. But Jacob's sheep, the colored sheep, they have four horns, and some of them actually have six horns. So those horns are a big turn-on for the ewes. And so Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. So now let's take a look and see what are the qualities of Jacob's sheep. Because Jacob's sheep represents God's own flock. And here are some things that I found written about Jacob's sheep. The Jacob sheep is a breed of primitive multi-horned sheep patterned with black and white spots. Jacobs are grown for their wool, meat, and hides, and kept as pets and ornamental animals. As of 2009, that's this year, Jacobs are listed as threatened by the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, which means the breed has fewer than 1,000 annual registrations in the U.S. and estimated fewer than 5,000 global population. Now I ask you, doesn't that sound like the remnant? It sure does to me. As a matter of fact, it kind of sounds like over the last few thousand years, people have been paying more attention to the ordinary white sheep of the world and less attention to God's sheep, the Jacob's sheep. Anyway, let's go on to another thing that I read about them. The meat of a Jacob's sheep is lean and flavorful. There is minimal waste to this meat, and in fact, only rabbit and venison have been found to be leaner. And of course, rabbit isn't kosher, so we're not even going to go there. This article continues and says it is naturally low in cholesterol because of the natural resistance to disease and parasites. See, I'm telling you, that's why Jacob did the rods that with the trees in the water and not just putting them in the ground like he could have, because either way, the ewes would have probably responded and been conditioned even if those rods were in the ground. But see, today we have Jacob's sheep in the world that have natural resistance to disease and parasites. Wow! Jacob really knew what he was doing. The other thing is that Jacob's sheep, while breed-specific markings help to identify an individual sheep, not all breed-specific markings necessarily are present in one individual. It is important to bear in mind that the perfect sheep does not exist. Now, doesn't that describe Jacob's flock? Of course it does. It describes us perfectly. We're Jacob's flock. And none of us is perfect, and you know, other sheep, they have a breed standard. There are specific things, you know, when you take the sheep and you put it in your truck and you take it to the fair and the judge looks at it, there are things that it wants to see in every sheep, and you know, there's all this conformity thing, and well, you can't do that with a Jacob's sheep. There is no breed conformity. So I think this is so interesting because, you know, the thing that people are looking for in the world, you know, this individuality thing that everybody's got going on. Oh, it's just me. This is me. This is not me. I'm so unique. Well, you know what? All these white sheep in the world, all the sheep of Laban, they're all just alike. It's God's sheep. It's Jacob's sheep that have the truly unique characteristics. But I also believe that it's because of those truly unique characteristics that is why we have such a hard time getting along with each other right now. We can't see past each other's imperfections, and so we do things to hurt each other over those imperfections rather than just simply doing what the Torah says and, you know, doing those acts of love, you know, those love and joy and faith and good things that the Torah says to do to each other. No, no, no. We have to say, well, you know, you're different. You're different. So, you know, we can't be in your flock and you can't be in our flock. No, that's why it's a double-edged sword, this Jacob's sheep thing, because we are so unique. And we have to realize that when we belong to God's hand-picked flock, that we are His, and regardless of how odd and strange and different some other people may seem, if their testimony is that they love the brethren, and they love the master, and they love his household, and they love the family that the master has given them, if they have this testimony, they belong to Jacob. There's another thing that I read about Jacob's sheep that after that long discourse there on why we're having some troubles is that one of the qualities of this animal is its ease of care and its sweetness of disposition. And this lady who wrote this article said, "Of all the sheep that I've been around, the Jacobs is my favorite. They have a natural energy and curiosity that other breeds of sheep do not. And they seem to me to be more like a goat in their ability to reason and interact with humans." So basically what she's saying here is that Jacob's sheep are smarter than the other white sheep. So, God's sheep, because we're you know, Jacob's flock is represents God's flock. So here we are, we're smarter, and we have the ability to reason and think like goats, even though we are God's flock. And that may be one of the reasons why we have such a hard time determining who is a goat and who is a sheep. Now we have to remember, as I said before, that Jacob's flock was handpicked, and God handpicks his flock the way that Jacob did. Jacob represents Adonai hand-selecting his flock. In a flock of white sheep, colored or speckled sheep are barely tolerated. White sheep, of course, are desired for just about everything by the world. But colored sheep, you know, they have a different destiny from white sheep. They're not destined to be the worker sheep of the world. In other words, they're not going to be the wool producers. You know, the white sheep, they're just going to grow wool and then, you know, get shaved and that'll be made into clothes, and then they'll go and they'll grow more of that wool. But that's not the destiny of the Jacob's sheep. The practical application then for us is to allow ourselves to be separated from the white sheep, to allow God to separate us out from those white sheep. God designed Jacob's flock to be full of imperfect people with highly intelligent thoughts and that look different, that act different, and that are rejected by the world and seen as being different, you know, outcast and ostracized and all of those things. That's what God's flock is made of. Jacob, you know, as I said before, Jacob is a most misunderstood man. And I gotta tell you, everything that I've read, I have never seen where he initiated any of the trouble that visited him. No, the trouble always found him. So that tells us, number one, that God used the circumstances of Jacob's life for his purposes. You know, it wasn't that, you know, Jacob had decided that he was just going to do something and then God could use that. No, no. Jacob lived his life doing what God wanted, and then when the situations came, God would use those for his purpose. So if we don't understand this, if we don't understand about our forefather Jacob, if we think that he's a trickster and a liar and that he was superstitious and that he was stupid, if we think any of those things, right now is the time for us to just be quiet. Don't say anything. Just be quiet. You don't want to be agreeing with the world on this. Jacob is our forefather. We need to be on his side. So if you're not squarely on his side yet, just shut up. And it'll be further explained to you in the kingdom. You know, God is sovereign so that he can use the troubling circumstances of any life. Jacob's, mine, yours, any life for his divine purpose. And we don't have to go looking for trouble because, you know, it will find us. But God will use it for his divine purpose. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you're called, that means you're hand-selected by God in the same way that Jacob selected his sheep for his flock, and you're called for God's purpose. And so the things that happen with you, God will use for his purpose. We're Jacob's sheep. We're part of Jacob's flock. And we need to defend our forefather. We need to let people know, and we need to stop believing that he is a trickster, a liar, a thief, stupid, or superstitious. Anything less than that is to agree with the world that Jacob was indeed all of the things they say about him. Let me just leave by saying that Jacob is a father for us to be proud of. And we need to demonstrate that pride by having a fierce allegiance to His history and to His flock that is the remnant today, that is in the Messianic movement, in the Hebrew Roots movement, or wherever it's found. We need to have that allegiance to Him and to His flock. And I thank you for listening to the MessianicMessage.com.